This is Chief of Anything, created by Christian Kohlhoff and Michael Portz. Our podcasts serve the purpose of growing people skills for great success, excellent business results, and a happy, healthy people culture.
If this podcast is useful for you, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We love to hear from you, and we are always happy to learn how we can help teams achieve great success or overcome people pains. All contact details are in the show notes. Much success.
Conversation 6. Story of my life. We are what we pretend to be, so we must be careful what we pretend to be. Kurt Vonnegut.
We're now going to do a little exercise, the lifeline exercise. It serves to get to know oneself and others better and to build trust in the team. In this exercise, everyone shares 10 minutes from their life. We'll start with you. You tell me about the ups and downs you've experienced, what you've learned from them, and how you've managed. The more openly and honestly you deal with your weaknesses and emotions in particular, the more understanding each team member will have for you and your behavior, deepening group trust as a whole. Trust is the basis for good, productive cooperation.
Absolutely. I know this exercise very well. Both of us have done it many times, especially with clients and groups that we coach. We first learned about the Lifeline exercise a few years ago at EO, and we have done this many times together with other entrepreneurs. I love observing what highlights each person shares and how they behave when sharing. The quotation of Kurt Vonnegut proves to be true again and again. He said, more or less, that we must be careful what we pretend to be, because what we pretend to be, we become. When I tell my life story right away, I tell it in the awareness of how and what I want to tell. Consciously or unconsciously, I pursue an intention to present myself in the way I want to be perceived by others. Vonnegut warns against this. Be careful how you present yourself, because it will come true. Whoever you pretend to be, you will become.
Okay, here we go. Do you want to start with your lifeline, Michael?
Yes, gladly. How much time do I have?
I set the timer for 10 minutes.
Okay, so I'll tell you my life story, my highs, my lows, and what I've learned so that you and the listeners get to know me better and our relationship is strengthened. Here we go. Lifeline Michael. My story begins in 1946. In 1946, my mother was 5 years old. She was born in Hungary. My family emigrated from Germany to Hungary in the 1700s and had lived in Hungary ever since. At the end of the Second World War, they were expelled from Hungary because of their German descent. This flight, which lasted for about 10 years with many twists and turns, had a strong impact on my mother, and later on me. Through my mother, I understood that home is not necessarily something for eternity. Even as a child, my family's experiences created deep emotion in me. I wanted people to treat each other peacefully so that the world would become a better place and something like this would not happen again in the future. This was important to me. My father, on the other hand, gave me the entrepreneurial spirit. He comes from the Rhineland, near the Dutch border. I grew up there as well. He was a tax consultant and entrepreneur and is now retired. All four grandparents were active in agriculture, which I still notice in some of my parents and also my own behavior. I was born successfully in 1970, so I am 50 years old now. I deliberately say I was born successfully because my mother had already experienced 2 unsuccessful pregnancies before I was born. I would actually have had 2 brothers. Medicine was not advanced enough at the time. Today, they certainly could have been saved. Unfortunately, not back then. So I grew up visiting the child graves of my brothers on Sundays. Growing up, life and death played a big role for me. When I was 12 years old, my grandfather died of stomach cancer. 1 year later, my grandmother took her own life. The death of my grandparents had a great impact on the whole family, especially on my mother, and therefore, on me as well. Given the terrible impact the war had on my mother's family, I decided to do community service. Military service was out of the question for me. I never wanted to be involved in any acts of war. I worked as a paramedic with the Red Cross and again was often confronted with death. I learned a lot about life and death. My cousin died after years of being in a coma caused by a car accident. My other grandmother slowly died of cancer, and I never met the other grandfather who died from lung cancer caused by smoking. Then my mother fell ill with breast cancer. She recovered, thank God. This sort of fate ran through my life like a red thread. A school friend of mine was killed in a traffic accident. A colleague at work died of a heart attack in his early 30s. When I was 40, my mentor and boss suddenly died. I do take death very seriously and have learned that it can come at any time. Three great values or passions have always played a major role in my life. The first is the big, wide world. My second passion is music. The third is progress, meaning technical progress in the world, and also personal development. The big, wide world has led to many beautiful things in my life. My motto is, life is colorful. I grew up in a very small town, and I always had a great wanderlust. I'm sure this has something to do with the Hungarian refugee history of my mother's side of the family. I never really felt quite at home as a child. When I was 16, I was an exchange student in the USA. For the first time, I experienced how different life can be in different places. At 35, I went to South Africa for 2 years to live and work there. It was only later that I realized that I had basically emigrated. I cut all ties to the German system. No more health insurance, no more pension. I signed off everywhere. It felt very liberating. In South Africa, I managed several call centers for a corporate subsidiary. I was entrusted with building an organization from 0 to 200 employees. After that, we achieved a turnaround with well over 2,000 employees. I felt very successful back then. It was a very great time. Life in Cape Town was wonderful. I liked the lifestyle so much that I could have stayed forever. But I had other goals in life. I wanted to see more of the world. I then went on to Qatar when I was 38. There I set up a corporate startup for the mobile network operator Vodafone. My role was that of the CMO, Chief Marketing Officer, part of the founding team. After 2 years, we made an IPO, short for Initial Public Offering, a first-time offering of shares on the stock exchange, worth $2.2 billion. Harvard Business School even wrote a case study about us. It was an incredible time. I traveled a lot back then, all over the world. It was not until I was about 46 years old that I returned to Germany. I spent more than 10 years abroad. In the meantime, I have had children and am happily married. Since then, I have sought closeness to my family and friends, feeling more at home in my hometown than ever before. The second great influence in my life was music. It still is and always will be. Since I was 5 or 6 years old, I have been fascinated by the sound when technology and music meet, especially synthesizers and electric organs. As a child, I found that incredibly fascinating. I took piano lessons very early, and later on took up the organ. I played in bands and worked as a music teacher for piano, organ, and later guitar starting at 14 years old. I played in the big band at school, in various student bands, and even co-founded my own band. I always did that on the side. After I started to study computer science, I got the offer to play in a professional band. That was awesome. I played bass and sang, especially the rock genre. We also did a lot of dance music, which wasn't really my thing. It was a very cool time. I did that for 4 years. We got around, playing 50 to 60 gigs a year. I was the bass player in Drafi Deutscher, and Andrea Berg used to often sing in our band back then. She has since become very well known in the German music scene. It was a really nice time in which I made very good money and learned a lot. Music was always very important to me. At some point, though, I realized that it was a means to an end and not my life's purpose. That was a conscious decision I made at that time. The third major theme is progress. Technical and entrepreneurial progress, and also my own further education. I experienced some ups and downs. As a child, I was active in the Catholic Church as an altar boy, as a pianist accompanying the choir, as a lector, and as an organ player during Mass. I even went to Rome once and saw the Pope up close. After graduating from high school, I left the church. I learned a lot about philosophy and made some conclusions for myself that did not fit in with the convictions of the church. Values are still hugely important for me. I think that the church represents very good values, but I no longer agree with its delivery mechanism, form, and institution as such. I studied computer science, with medicine as a minor subject. The first degree was pretty hard. It was a lot of mathematics that I didn't really enjoy. At some point, I realized that computer science doesn't have as much to do with technology as I had imagined. I took some time off and worked as a professional musician for 4 years. When I came back after that, I still finished my studies, earned my degree, and was able to pick and choose jobs. In order to learn as much as possible and gain practical experience, I went to a management consultancy. The plan worked out. I learned a lot and worked a lot. I was always out of town, always on the road. My first marriage suffered a lot from this. Finally, I changed jobs. I accepted an offer from a client. It was a company where I received incredible support. I was given the opportunity to pursue my Master of Business Administration, MBA, while employed there and traveled all over the world again. I was exposed to incredible people and great mentors. It was then that I made my first exit from the startup we had built for the corporation. I made good money and was able to save a lot. I had no shares in the company, but very good bonuses and a great leaving package. It was a new start for me, which became a recurring theme. I became an entrepreneur and business angel, invested in various companies, and again got around a lot. I built up a strong network and was very active, including through EO, the Entrepreneurs Organization. I founded a company. We developed, patented, produced, and sold water pipe capsules, inspired by what Keurig and Nespresso did so successfully with coffee. Unfortunately, the company didn't make it, and we ran out of money. Harvard Business School published a case study on this as well. I continued to invest in different companies and lost a lot of money in the process. Many investments went wrong. Luckily, one or two investments were very profitable in the end. This is what led me to start a new project a few years ago. I was curious about what I wanted to do next. I quickly realized that I wanted to become an executive coach. I wanted to coach people in leadership roles and help them to achieve their goals. So, I got trained and certified as a coach. I learned a lot and exchanged ideas with others. Now I have arrived at what I consider to be the destination of my professional career and have already achieved many of the goals I set myself. I have become aware that besides the three big themes in my life, the big, wide world, music, and progress, there is a fourth theme which has become extremely important to me only in the last few years, family and close friendships. In the first part of my lifeline, unfortunately, a lot of things went wrong in this department. I have been divorced twice and am now happily married. Many unpleasant things happened back then because I made a number of poor decisions. Things went back and forth. I hurt myself and other people in the process. Fortunately, from these dark low points, a great feeling of freedom eventually emerged. I savored this freedom and finally broke free from a number of limiting beliefs. I went to Qatar and met my great mentor, Graham, who sadly died much too soon, less than 3 years later. I learned a lot from him, from both his successes and his failures. At the same time, I ventured into my second marriage and, soon after, slid into the second divorce. My boss's death, my business exit, and my divorce all came together within less than a year and turned into a real shit story. Although I considered myself rich, in my personal life I was poor and lonely in the Middle East. So I decided to start all over again. I decided to be prudent, not to jump into any quick relationships again. I traveled around the world, visited old companions, and spent a little time on a retreat in India. I tried a lot of things until I realized that family and close friends are very important to me. I wanted to have a relaxed, loving relationship with a significant other. That's when I met my third, current, and final wife, Patricia. We are still very happy. Of course, we also have the occasional challenge, yet it works out great. We have two wonderful daughters together. The older one is now 6 years old and is an absolute sunshine. The little one is almost 3 years old and totally cuddly and sweet. Patricia is a violinist. we share many things that are very important to both of us. She plays the violin beautifully. We make music together, and sometimes we give concerts. I play the piano and sing. Patricia is half Peruvian and half German, and also lived in Qatar playing for the Qatar Philharmonic Orchestra. I came back to Germany with her and our oldest daughter 5 years ago. I was 46 years old and moved back into a house with my parents, a great new building. It was originally intended as a temporary solution, but we have been living together for 4 years now. We still haven't moved to Berlin or Munich as we actually intended to. We've arrived in a three-generation situation and are totally happy. A life in the countryside with my parents in one house. If you had told me that 10 years ago, I would have said you were crazy. Now I find it totally awesome. My friends are also very important to me. I turned 50 this year. Despite the corona crisis, my friends gave me a birthday party. It was a drive-through party where I was driven through the village on a tractor, and my dear friends cheered me on from their parked cars at the side of the road as I drove by. It was an absolute highlight for me amidst the challenging year, and a confirmation that family and old friends are very important to me. Well, the 10 minutes are up. That was my lifeline exercise. It was interesting for me to tell it again. Every time the story is a little different. How was it for you? I'm also interested in what it was like for the listeners. You can leave me a comment or send me your lifeline. I will listen to it or read it with pleasure to get to know you better as well.
Many thanks, Michael. I've heard your lifeline a few times already. Nevertheless, your two sides are always remarkable to me. When we met again 4 years ago, you were this globetrotter from South Africa and Qatar, at home in the world. In addition to your traveling experiences, your family has shaped you a lot. These two facets of home and the world, which make you up, amaze me again and again.
I have only realized these big themes and how important they are to me, who I am, and how it's all connected in the last few years. Only then did my purpose statement become clear to me, helping people to have an easier life and bridging differences. This again serves the purpose of making the world more peaceful so that life becomes easier for all people. It has a lot to do with memories and experiences from my childhood, even with experiences of my parents and grandparents. To recognize this is a cool and valuable realization for me.
Thanks for sharing, Michael. Lifeline Christian.
We're still on the Lifeline exercise, and we maintain that this exercise is designed to build a deeper relationship and more rapport with other people. It works very well in a one-to-one conversation like we are doing right now, or in a group to strengthen the team feeling. Both of us have been doing this again and again for many years. It is also a kind of discipline, a recurring mechanism. So, now, in the next 10 minutes, I would like to learn more about your lifeline, ups, downs, and lessons from your life.
Okay, let's go. I'm an Autobahn child. I was born in Karlsruhe and was taken to Neum by my parents immediately after my birth, more precisely, to Neum Full. It's a small town near the Danube. I had a great childhood. I played and romped around a lot. I was a wild boy and was well protected. My father worked a lot and in different cities. For a while, he worked in Dusseldorf, then in Hamburg, and finally in Munich. He kept his home base so that we could continue to live in Neum. My mother took very loving care of me and my brother, who is 4 years younger than me. Because I was older, I was allowed to try out a lot of new things. I tested many different kinds of sports. First, I started with judo. Then I played field hockey and soccer in the garage yard. I once broke a big toe when I kicked a curb. I also played different instruments. First the recorder, then the flute, later the guitar, and even a little bit of the piano. We often went on vacation as a family. That was great. My grandparents had a cabin in the Black Forest. We often all went together to our vacation home in Eifel. From time to time, we made a special trip, for example, to Italy, London, or even to America. So even as a child, I traveled a lot and saw a lot of the world. I'm very grateful for that. It was certainly a highlight in my lifeline. It became a bit more difficult when I developed into an absolute nerd during puberty. I didn't want that at all. I was simply interested in different things than other teenagers my age. I read a lot. Back then, we still had a Brockhaus encyclopedia. I checked that out and read it, too. I had these Tetzloff knowledge books called What is What. In one of them, I even wrote on the first page, "This book belongs to the astronomer Christian Kolhoff." I was 12 or 13 years old. The book was called Our Stars, or something like that. Only in retrospect did I realize that this was probably the first visualization of my life. I had one really good friend back then. His name was Reinhard, and we did everything together. The older I got, the stranger it felt to be the intellectual loner. Then something great happened. My father suddenly said to us that he was going to work in Munich for a longer period of time, and suggested that we move to Bavaria. I thought the idea was great. It was just before my 18th birthday. I entered the 12th grade of the Gymnasium Unterhaching, and was the new kid, the one with the John Lennon glasses, about whom you didn't know that he, too, had once gone through puberty. Little fun fact, it's the high school from the German movie Fuck You, Goethe, and our high school graduation prank was showcased a few times in the movie. From then on, things went uphill again. I played in a band, had many friends, and even a girlfriend. I decided to do community service in Taufkirchen, because I liked life there so much that I didn't want to leave. Funnily enough, I was mainly babysitting. I spent a lot of time on playgrounds and had a lot of time for music, parties, and girls. Music still plays a big role in my life today. I almost studied music. I was about to take the entrance examination and took a lot of piano lessons. Then I realized that music alone isn't for me. It's a nice hobby, but being a professional flute or piano player, and maybe, if I was lucky, a music teacher, that wasn't what I wanted. Therefore, my first important lesson was, it will not only be one thing. I started to study physics. The career counselor at my high school said to me, "If you want to become an astronomer, you have to study physics." I even deselected physics in school and decided to take the advanced chemistry and math courses because I knew that I would learn physics in detail later. I took the intermediate diploma, also in Munich. Basically, it went on just as it did during community service, studying, parties, music, girls. After the intermediate diploma, I moved to Aachen with my girlfriend at that time. I wanted to be as far away from home as possible so that I wouldn't be tempted to bring my laundry home on the weekends. Somehow, I ended up in Aachen. I met some exchange students from England. We had a lot of fun. Eventually, the exchange students left and my girlfriend broke up with me. I was suddenly sitting all alone in a strange city. To make matters worse, there was a first health warning. It manifested itself as rheumatoid arthritis, most likely due to too little sports and an unhealthy lifestyle. The Aachen canteen simply offered far too many fries and sweets. I managed to get out of the loneliness and even fight the arthritis. I met my first, only, and current wife, Hella. We've been together for 25 years. That's a really long time. The nice thing is that we've always pushed and supported each other in our relationship over the years. When I met her, she was working as a medical technical assistant. I was studying. Then I started working while she studied. I earned money as she wrote her doctoral thesis. Then the children came. I started a company, and she worked in a company. She's had her own company for 4 years now. I think that's great. She's very successful. They're real rock stars in their industry. It's so much fun to watch her and see what's going on. It's a great feeling to fly through life together. We have two amazing daughters, Charlotte and Magdalena. Charlotte is 13 years old and recently was in France for a 6-month exchange program. Magdalena will graduate this year. Family is just great. What's really nice is that we travel together a lot as a family. We've been to Kenya, Cambodia, and Costa Rica, among other places. Everyone enjoys these trips. The fact that the two girls at 17 and 13 years of age are keen on it and don't say to us, "You old folks, you do it without us," I find very gratifying, of course. After my physics studies, I worked in two companies. That was relatively boring. The best part of the day was actually drinking coffee. Then I was lucky. At the bank, Ralph was the personal manager. We got along pretty well and always thought how cool it would be if there was a real coffee bar here in the company. We then went through it together and found it Chico di Café. That was a tough time in the beginning. We had no mentors or coaches. I didn't even have the right literature. Up to this point, I hadn't been involved in any entrepreneurial thing, and I just hoped that my additional business studies would help me somehow. Of course, it looked good on my resume, and I was competent in accounting. We got off to a rather poor start, but we kept going and tried to open more bars with limited financing and leasing. In 2011, we almost went broke. The cash flow was negative. We opened too many branches. During this time, I slept pretty badly. A local savings bank was our main financier, and from one day to the next, they cut off our credit line. They said to us, "We will now first see if you have a positive prognosis to continue. Otherwise, it's over." That was a violent experience. I was young. We had two children, and suddenly there was no money coming out of the ATM. The second health warning came. I went to a doctor and told him about my constant tiredness and so on. He said, "That sounds like the beginning of burnout. You need to take care of yourself, eat healthier food, sleep more, get more rest, and exercise more." I listened, pulled myself together, and Chico di Café began to be profitable. Soon thereafter, the banking advisors proudly patted each other on the back about how much they helped us out. I was grateful for the clarity with which they communicated, "Guys, enough," and also for the determination with which they then helped us. Chico di Café has continued to grow. Today, I believe we have over 160 coffee bars. What I'm also very grateful for is the last project with Chico di Café, our roasting plant. From the beginning, we had the dream of roasting our own coffee. We wanted to produce the 100 tons we consumed per year ourselves. It was a great project for me to build a roasting plant from scratch. Buying coffee and creating roasting profiles, that was exactly my thing. We held many strategy discussions about how to best structure our financing. Those led me to selling part of my shares and leaving as managing director. Since then, I've been financially, temporarily, and spatially independent. I now enjoy my life to the fullest. I'm happy to pass on my know-how and management skills, both as a coach and as a mentor. I enjoy the relaxed productivity with which we work on our podcasts and our books, and I'm looking forward to traveling again with my family. That's where I stand right now. Until a year ago, I would have said, "I'm healthier than ever." Then came the third warning. My rheumatoid arthritis was back. I'll now get rid of that, too. I can do it, as I said before. It's not only music, and it's not only physics. The freedom that I currently have in terms of time and money I use for music, physics, and other things. This is extremely important to me. Always trying out and learning something new. I take singing lessons, am learning Italian, and greatly enjoying time with my family.
Great. Thank you, Christian. We've done this exercise a few times together, so in terms of content, I know your lifeline, and I keep noticing that every time I listen to you, I still get to know you a little bit better. The story is a little bit different every time. Every time I learn a little bit more. I appreciate it very much to get to know you this way. Funnily enough, we've met again and again in the past decade. It's always nice to take those 10 to 15 minutes and hear the story again. Every time I take something new out of it. Today, I have become particularly aware of the commonalities that unite us, especially in our values. Music is very important to both of us, though we both decided that it is not music alone that fulfills our purpose in life. Distance, travel, and different cultures are very important to both of us. We both delight in educating ourselves, containing an insatiable thirst for knowledge, and we both enjoy sharing and passing on our knowledge to support others on their journey. This is what I have taken away in this iteration of our mutual lifeline exercise. I thank you very much for it. I am also grateful to have you as a partner in the Chief of Anything Academy and to publish our podcast and book together. I am looking forward to all the steps we take together in this lifelong journey.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Wow. It is impressive how close I feel to you when you talk so openly about your experiences, weaknesses, and emotions. Just reading about it helps me to understand you better and to get to know you better. You show me respect and appreciation by opening up to me like this. This is nothing like just dully reciting your own CV, curriculum vitae, or resume. To present yourself as a boss so naked in front of your team requires a lot of courage and strength. It pays off. Whoever has this strength, I gladly follow. Suddenly I understand why this person takes a certain attitude or reacts in certain situations. As a boss, it is important to be understood and respected by your team. Real leaders are courageous, forward-thinking, and strong enough to show weakness.
This is Chief of Anything, created by Christian Kohlhoff and Michael Portz. Our podcasts serve the purpose of growing people skills for great success, excellent business results, and a happy, healthy people culture.
If this podcast is useful for you, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We love to hear from you, and we are always happy to learn how we can help teams achieve great success or overcome people pains. All contact details are in the show notes. Much success.